Most business leaders are falling into a dangerous trap. They believe that if they simply buy the right software or give their team a login to a new tool, the profits will start rolling in. But that is an incredibly expensive mistake. Why? Because good tools do not work by themselves. You don't need a better algorithm. You need a better architecture for adoption. So let me tell you who I am, and then I'll show you exactly how to get your team actually using AI and driving results with it. Quick pause to get acquainted. Welcome to the AI into ROI show, where we help business executives cut costs and boost profits with AI. No hype. Hello, I'm Rolando. By 2027, I'll be completing my doctorate degree in AI with the University from Michigan. I am an AI engineer with a postgraduate from an university from Texas, 2 certificates from MIT, and 1 from IBM. I have 14 years of experience at a Fortune 500 company in the B2B IT sector, where I served as project manager, senior consultant, and custom software engineer, serving major brands remotely and on-site across the whole country, roughly 400 companies and 5,000 locations. The show is all about AI, but applied for business. The kind of knowledge that reduces costs, increases margins, scales, and creates a real competitive advantage. In each episode, we break down applications for AI and use cases from multiple industries. We also talk about success stories showing how AI creates ROI. Back to the episode. Now, let's talk about the myth that is costing your business. There is a story that gets told in board meetings, in vendor pitch decks, and in technology press releases, and it goes something like this. Build a great AI system, and adoption will follow. Make a tool useful enough, and people will use it. Show a strong enough ROI, and investment will flow. It is a clean story, but it is also wrong. History and years of executive experience tells us a completely different story. Technology does not self by itself. Tools do not deploy themselves. Innovation does not flow automatically from one part of the organization to another just because it was a good idea. It's pressed through social, organizational, and psychological channels that must be carefully understood and intentionally designed. This is the reality that most AI strategies completely ignore. Companies investing heavily in the tools, the models, the platforms, the infrastructure, and then they are generally surprised when their teams resist and when the gains don't materialize, and when the initiative loses steam after barely 6 months. So the missing ingredient isn't really more technology. It is leadership designed specifically for AI transformation. It's the function, the expertise, and the organizational architecture that turns AI potential into AI results. So that is what we're going to unpack today. How AI innovation actually spreads. This is the framework that you need to understand why AI spreads or doesn't spread inside organizations. We need to start with a framework defined a long time ago, but that explains it better than most modern management literature can do it right now. In 1962, sociologist Everett Rogers published a book called Diffusion of Innovations. It became one of the most widely cited works in organizational change, education, marketing, and now digital transformation. Any central insight is even more relevant to businesses strategy today than almost anything written in the last recent years. Rogers observed that the new ideas, whether technologies, behaviors, or systems, they don't spread evenly. They actually follow a pattern. And some people and organizations also, they move fast. Some others wait to see results. Some resist until the very end. He mapped this into what is now known as the innovation adoption curve, which is a bell-shaped distribution of 5 groups: innovators, early adopters, early majority, late majority, and the laggards. Each group has its own mindset, motivations, and threshold for change. Number one, the innovators are the experimenters. They'll try something new before it is even proven. They are driven by curiosity and appetite for risk. Number two, the early adopters are the visionaries. They're not just curious, they are strategically motivated, and they see adoption as a competitive advantage, and they want to be ahead. Number three and number four are the early and late majorities. And these are pragmatic, they want evidence, and they want to see that something works before they can commit. Number five, the laggards, are either skeptical by nature or constrained by habit, policy, or legacy infrastructure. Rogers also identified five characteristics that determine how quickly any innovation spreads. First, is relative advantage. How much better is it compared to what we're doing right now? Second, compatibility. How well does it fit into existing workflows, values, and systems? Third, complexity. How easy it is to understand and use. Fourth, trialability, which asks us, can people test it without making a big commitment? And fifth, observability. How visibly and measurable are the benefits to people who haven't yet adopted it? These five dimensions, they don't describe the technology. They actually describe how people experience that technology and that their perception and not their capability. So that is what ultimately drives the adoption. And this is a critical insight for any business evaluating its AI strategy. The question isn't only, is this AI tool powerful? The question is, how will our people experience it across these five dimensions? And what do we need to do to make the experience lead to adoption rather than just avoidance? And this is not a technology question, that is a leadership question. Now, let us talk about where your industry sits right now. And let's apply this framework to the current AI landscape, because where your industry and your company sits on this curve has a direct strategic implications for what you should be doing right now. If you look across sectors, you'll notice something striking. While some organizations are deploying generative AI platforms, they are building autonomous agents and they are integrating foundation models into their core business. There are other organizations that are still on a phase that they are still asking for foundational questions. What AI is, where to start, whether it is ready for them. That gap exists even between companies in the same industry competing for the same customers. That's because AI adoption, even after the latest breakthroughs, still follows a steep and uneven curve. The early movers are innovators and are early adopters. They tend to be tech native companies or digitally mature enterprises or businesses that had that data infrastructure and organizational culture already in place to absorb these new capabilities quickly. They moved fast because they were already structurally prepared to do so. The majority of companies are still in the middle. They are running pilots. They are testing AI-assisted tools. They are watching what competitors do. Most companies are waiting for clearer proof before committing to significant resources. And the distribution varies dramatically by industry. Technology and financial services and e-commerce usually have moved the furthest. Healthcare, manufacturing, logistics, and government are often further behind. Not because the value isn't there, but because the cost of failure is high. And the data in the environment is complex for them. And also the regulatory landscape that they live in, that landscape demands high caution. So here's what this means strategically. Depending on where your company sits, your AI priorities are going to look completely different. If you're among the early movers, your challenge is scaling responsibly, proving value at an enterprise level, and building the organizational muscle to sustain it. If you're in the majority, you're still exploring, you're still piloting, Your challenge is timing. When to move, how fast to scale, and how to avoid being overtaken by competitors who are building the same capability right now. And if you're behind, whether due to legacy systems, organizational inertia, or risk concerns, your challenge is catching up quickly, but wisely, without creating that kind of resistance and disillusionment that sets the organization even further back. You know, remember that adoption curve isn't a judgment on your company. It is a map. But to use a map, we must know first where we are. And most leadership teams, if we're being honest, that is a question that we are not sure where we are right now. And that is the first thing a chief AI officer must change. So let us now talk about how AI spreads inside your organization. This is where this gets more nuanced and where most AI strategies break down in practice. Diffusion doesn't just happen between organizations. It happens between them. The internal dynamics are often far more complex than the external competitive landscape. So even if your company has made a strategic commitment to AI, individual teams and departments are almost certainly at a very different stages of readiness and adoption. Your data science team, they might be full of innovators, actively building and experimenting. But let's say that your digital marketing team, they might be enthusiastic early adopters. But your legal team department, your compliance function, or your operations team, they may be operating with entirely different risk tolerances, different structures for incentives, and different culture. There are different attitudes toward new technology. And really, that isn't dysfunction. That is actually entirely normal. Different parts of an organization, they have different jobs, different accountability, and different reasons to be cautious. The problem that most AI strategies treat is that the organization, they treat it as a uniform surface, rolling out tools and mandates as though every team will respond the same way, but they don't. And when the strategy doesn't account for that, you get the outcome most companies experience. Strong adoption in a few enthusiastic pockets, but minimal adoption everywhere else. And an AI investment that delivers a fraction of its potential, then that is, of course, not what we're looking after and not what leadership team is looking after. So, the answer lies in understanding how adoption actually spreads inside complex organizations. It rarely moves from top to bottom. It spreads laterally through influence networks, visible results, and peer recommendations when they are sharing their stories. It spreads when an early champion in one department, he demonstrates what is possible to his colleagues. And adjacent teams, they will take notice of that. So it will spread when AI makes someone's job measurably easier, and that person is going to tell their peers. You know, and building those conditions, we need to identify our champions early, and we need to give them the support and the visibility that they need. We need to reduce the friction, and we need to create the internal feedback loops that carry inside faster than the resistance. That is the change management. That is not something that happens by accident. And it's not something that a technology vendor will usually do for you. It will require dedicated, experienced leadership. And that is the kind of leadership that a chief AI officer will provide or should provide. Let us talk about three barriers that are killing your AI investments. Let's be specific about what gets in the way, because these barriers are predictable. And a skilled leader, should address them proactively rather than discovering them after a failed rollout. The first category is technical. So poor data quality, fragmented systems, unclear data ownership, all of these, they can kill an AI project before it even gets to the point of demonstrating value. AI tools are only as good as the data ecosystem that is surrounding them. And most organizations inherit a data environment that was never really designed with AI scale used in mind. Integration is the other barrier. AI tools that don't connect naturally to existing workflows and existing platforms, they won't get adopted. Regardless of how capable the actual AI solution is, but if they are in isolation, it's no good. The second category is organizational. So fear of job displacement is real, of course, and it deserves to be treated seriously and not dismissed. Inertia, like the simple gravitational pull of established habits and processes, is one of the most underrated, the most underestimated forces in any of these transformations. So many employees and even leaders are simply just too busy. They are managing existing workloads and they don't have the cognitive space to experiment, to learn, and to adapt. So without the deliberate structural support, AI ends competing with the day-to-day job, and of course, it will lose. The third category is cultural. Some teams resist AI not because of technical issues, but because they don't trust it. It feels like a black box. They don't understand how it reaches conclusions. They don't see how it aligns with the way they work, or they're just simply worried the adoption will change their role in ways that they cannot predict or cannot control. So these concerns don't respond to a product demonstration. They respond to building trust over time through transparency, through clear communication, through onboarding experiences designed around human concerns rather than just technical features. So the chief AI officer function exists specifically to anticipate these three categories of barriers and address them before they derail any initiative within the company. That means that designing and adoption experience are as much as from the human side inward as communicating use cases in a language that resonates with each team, building support structures that meet people where they are, and treating the adoption journey exactly as that, as a journey, because it's not going to be a one-time event. So now let's talk about what actually accelerates the adoption of AI and what moves AI adoption forward inside an organization. Because these accelerators are just as predictable as the barriers or the risks that we just discussed a little earlier. And they can also be intentionally designed. The most powerful accelerator is visible executive sponsorship. So when an AI initiative is generally championed by senior leadership and not just mentioned in a town hall or in a meeting, but it is actually actively backed by decisions, resources, and accountability, teams throughout the organizations will take them seriously. And they're more willing to invest time, to take measured risks, and to reorganize their priorities. The credibility of the initiative flows from the credibility of the leadership that is backing it up. The second accelerator is incentive alignment. People change behavior when behavior benefits them. And that might mean performance metrics that reward their experimentation. It might mean budget allocations that favor AI-enabled approaches. It might mean recognition systems or improvements in their career path or professional development that positions AI fluency as a leadership competency. The incentives must not only be financial, they can be social, reputational, and motivational. A well-designed incentive architecture can do more for AI adoption than any training program. The third category is visible early wins carefully amplified. So when one team achieves a measurable success, either faster response times, lower error rates, better customer outcomes, other teams will notice. And they will start to believe that it will also work for them. But those wins, they don't spread automatically. They have to be shared through internal case studies, through demo presentations, and through storytelling that makes abstract AI capability feel concrete and achievable and attainable. The story of one team's success is one of the most powerful change management tools available. The fourth accelerator is to reduce friction. If AI feels difficult to access, then most people will avoid it. The more it can be embedded into tools and workflows that people already use through their integrations, through intuitive interfaces, or through even low-code access points, then more the adoption will follow and the adoption will rise. The goal is intelligence that fits naturally into existing rhythms, not intelligence that demands a complete change in behavior. Now, let's talk about the fifth accelerator, which is to build a sense of momentum. People want to be part of something that is working, something that is growing, and the more AI feels like that direction that organization is often moving, either through communications, through champions, through learning programs, and in a shared language across the organization, the more the individuals will choose to engage. Momentum is also a cultural asset. So, you know, you can build it by purpose, by design. Now, there is one question, a timing question, that most companies get wrong. And one of the questions that most overlooked aspects of any AI strategy, which is timing. Not whether to move or not, but when to move, which parts of the organization, and in what sequence. So the most common mistake is to assume that all teams should adopt AI at the same time. In practice, successful AI transformation unfolds in waves. Each wave needs to be carefully sequenced, supported, and aligned with actual organizational readiness. Moving a team that isn't ready and that lacks the data foundation, the leadership support, or the process clarity to benefit, that just doesn't produce a failed project. It will produce active resistance that will spread. And a team that had a bad AI experience becomes a louder voice against the next initiative than a team that never tried it at all. So the right approach starts with identifying which teams are genuinely ready, motivated with a clear use case and the conditions to succeed, and investing there on that team first. These become proof of points. These are sandboxes, the internal evidence that this initiative, this AI is working in our organization and with our people. And while those pilots are running, the groundwork for the next wave should be already in progress. Readiness assessments, use case identification, leadership alignment, and the onboarding design. By the time the second wave launches, the friction is lower and the confidence is higher, because the first wave demonstrated that what was possible. Strategic timing isn't about moving slowly. It is about moving intelligently. And it is the difference between building that momentum instead of creating just resistance. So what does this mean for your business? Well, here is the bottom line. The companies that will define their industries in the next decade are the ones treating AI capability as an organizational competency and not just software subscription. That competency doesn't develop on its own. It has to be built, it has to be led, it has to be sustained over time through a combination of technology, people, governance, and culture. And that is a function for a chief AI officer. There is a difference between an organization that runs a few interesting pilots and one that just has generally transformed how their business operates, how they serve their customers, and how they compete in their industry. If your leadership team is asking why your AI tools aren't being adopted, that is a question for a chief AI officer. If you're wondering why, which department to move next and to give priority next, that is a question for a chief AI officer. If you're trying to figure out how to build internal momentum and turn skeptics into champions, that is also a question for a chief AI officer. Now, here's what we found in practice. Most organizations, they don't need to build this capability from scratch with a full-time executive hire. There are actually other options. For example, a fractional chief AI officer is an engagement that gives you exactly the strategic AI leadership your business needs, adoption roadmaps, executive alignment, governance, design, and sequencing strategy. And that will be on a flexible basis that matches where you are in your journey, where your company is in the journey. You get the experience dedicated AI leadership without the cost and timeline of a permanent hire. And for organizations that want to go beyond strategy and into execution, an AI department as a service model brings an entire team, engineers, strategists, project leads, who design the roadmap and deliver the results, and not just a consulting engagement that hands you a deck and disappears. A working team that is embedded in your business, building real capability and achieving real outcomes. The gap between knowing AI matters and having AI working for your business is a leadership gap. And it can be closed, can be narrowed down. And the companies closing it right now are the ones that will be hardest to catch 2 or 3 years from now. So if today's episode got you thinking about where your organization actually stands with AI, and not where you'd like to be, but where you honestly are right now, that is exactly the conversation I would encourage you to have with someone who can give you a straight answer. My team offers what we call an AI department as a service. We come in as your embedded AI leadership and execution team, handling everything from strategy to roadmap and actual engineering, delivering the results. And it's not just a consultant in the traditional sense, where we hand you a slide deck and then disappear. We actually work alongside your team. We own the outcomes and we build your internal capability as we go. For companies that are not ready to hire a full AI team, but need more than just advice, it is often the fastest path from AI curiosity, from being curious in AI, to actually getting results from AI. And if that sounds like where you are, then the link to start a conversation is in the description. And remember, AI doesn't scale because the technology is smart. It scales because it is driven by smart leaders and adopted by smart teams.